It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in for a very quick, efficient, express edition of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too today at the Team 980 because it's a day that we do that. I know we were a little late getting on the air yesterday. Sometimes we're on remote, things happen, but we are ready to go, fired up. And we'll talk in basically straight Terps today, barring any breaking news. 4:30, we switch to the ladies as the Lady Terps will play South Carolina in the Sweet 16. That game follows us at 5, hence the express version of the show today. But we'll start talking about the men and yesterday's game against Florida. And it's been very interesting to listen to the stations today and the takes today and read some of the columns from like Jerry Brewer in the Washington Post wrote about Kevin Willard. And I think there's two things I want to talk about in junction together here to open the show. First is the Maryland Terrapins men's basketball team lost in the Sweet 16 yesterday. And it is the farthest they've advanced in the NCAA tournament, even with the loss since 2016. They obviously made the Final Four back in 2003. But first Sweet 16 game since 2016, only second since that 03 Final Four run. They lost to a University of Florida team that is one of the best teams, not only this year in college basketball, and proved that they were flat out a better team yesterday, but one of the best college basketball teams we've seen in a long time. I'll reference this again in case you missed it or haven't heard me talk about it yet. And if you have, I apologize for repeating myself. But if you look at the KenPom ratings, which is, you know, a bunch of different composite rankings that Ken Pomeroy has been doing for the better part of 25, if not 30 years, this Florida team would be one of the best teams in college basketball, not just this year, but in most years. They would have been the top overall seed in most years. They are better relative to their competition than, you know, most teams we've seen in the last 2.5-3 decades of college basketball. This is a very, very, very good Florida team that absolutely could have been beaten by Maryland. But you saw in the first half yesterday, even when Florida was turning the ball over like crazy, I mean, there's the hilarious exchange on the broadcast between Dan Bonner and Stan Van Gundy, where Van Gundy is like, yeah, Golden at halftime needs to tell them that they're wearing the white shirts. He apparently didn't tell them enough before the game, which is objectively very funny and very Stan Van Gundy. And they have that, you know, because Florida just can't stop turning the ball over to Maryland, can't stop throwing it out of bounds. And some of that was absolutely forced by Maryland's pressure. And, you know, that team deserves a ton of credit for how tough they played Florida for 30 minutes. But once Florida remembered what jersey they were wearing and stopped doing silly stuff, then they pulled away and won running away because they're a significantly better basketball team. And that can be true. At the same time that there was absolutely a cloud over this game in some ways with Kevin Willard's job future, something that, in a sense, Kevin Willard invited in by being honest, answering a question 2 weeks ago. And I think multiple things can be true at once. I realized that I went from this being a majority opinion to me being the last man left on an island here. And I say this as someone who is giving you their honest opinion on the situation, not trying to defend Kevin Willard, because I've never met Kevin Willard in my life. I don't know. He doesn't know. He may know who I am because I host the Afternoon Drive show on his flagship radio station, the station where more people listen to his team play basketball than anywhere else, and his coach's show and all that kind of stuff. So he might be tangentially aware of who I am. I don't know. I certainly don't know Kevin Willard. I'm not covering for his agent because I don't know who his agent is. I don't play in the college basketball waters very often. All I'm doing is watching people talk into microphones and reading a bunch of reporting and drawing a conclusion. And my conclusion is that this is suboptimal, but ultimately kind of how business is done. And I'm not saying that Willard has, by and large, or that Willard has taken every step exactly right along the way. But what I do think Kevin Willard mostly has done has been honest. And that has made a lot of people mad. And I try my best to not criticize people who are being honest, because as someone in the media, I want honesty. When I ask people in power questions, I want them to give me a real answer. And sometimes those answers are messy. And then we can talk about the content of those answers. But I hate when people give political answers, when people try to brush stuff over and try to play the games, because frankly, most people are really bad at it. And like Kevin Willard has made things messy by being honest, and maybe he could have been a little bit smoother sailing the last 2 weeks if he had been less honest and he had been cagier or he had, you know, no commented questions. But when you no comment stuff, people fill in the blanks anyway. Reporters don't stop reporting. People still would have been like Villanova, Villanova, Villanova. And so even when he came after the media and was like, you guys are going to report what you're going to report anyway, people in the media got all up in arms and like, how dare you blame the media? He's not wrong. He's not wrong to say that if he had been like, I have no comment on that, that the media was just going to go ask his agent or go ask people at sources at Villanova, go ask sources at Maryland, whatever. And I know that like I heard, I'm not going to subtweet JP Finley. I'll add him. JP, if you're listening and you want to yell at me calling in, because I know you listen, like, go ahead. But I heard what JP had to say earlier, and I really appreciate JP's passion on this, and I understand why he's upset as someone who cares deeply about his university and his program. Like, if I still cared about Syracuse in the way that JP cares about Maryland, I might occasionally use my platform to yell about Syracuse. Here's what I'll yell about Syracuse, my alma mater. I wish we didn't suck. That'd be cool. Hey, John Wildhack, AD at Syracuse. You want to fix that? You want to not suck at basketball, a sport we were good at for a really long time, and then you let Jim Boeheim stay too long and mess that up? There, I yelled at my alma mater too. But like, I heard JP earlier get really passionately upset about Willard's been doing this since February. He's a weasel. And it was really kind of funny to listen to JP because he's like, I understand this is a business. I understand that this is... this is the way business is done, but you could have gone about it differently. And that's where I actually don't know that I agree. Could he have gone about it differently? Yes, sure. There are a million options. He could have made this way worse. Maybe there's a way he could have been a little less honest in certain spots and a little less cagey. And he's been mercurial. And I realize it's gotten everyone under everyone's skin. And maybe Kevin Willard could. Maybe there's someone who's a smoother operator that could have made this a little bit better. Sure. But the outcome wouldn't have changed. And that's the part that I'm just like, what are y'all actually mad about here? Folks that are super pissed at Willard. Do you think that if he had handled this differently, you would have beaten Florida? And that's why I wanted to talk about the game together with this story. Because if you're going to pretend to be mad at Willard for losing to Florida because he was allegedly focused on other things, you're out of your mind. Florida is a better basketball team. And Maryland's flaws as a basketball team that have been flaws far before Kevin Willard ever thought about the Villanova job were the things that cost them last night. They're not a good rebounding team. They have had problems with that for weeks and months, despite the fact that Julian Reese individually is an outstanding rebounder. And Derek Queen individually is a really good rebounder. As a team, they haven't been good at it. They've had issues. They had to play differently. They tried something. We talked about it with Naki yesterday. Like, they've been able to overcome that to win, what was it, 13 of their last 16 in the Big Ten. They found ways at times, but against the very best, they hit a wall. So what are you actually mad about? Because I'll tell you, the thing that I would be mad about is the fact that the university is going through this. They just lost their AD to SMU? Are we really a worse job than Southern Methodist University? And there's a quote that Willard gave last night that is a human being who has worked in a business. I don't understand how you cannot empathize with. Willard said last night, the biggest question I have in life right now is who my boss is going to be. Why would he commit to Maryland if he doesn't know who the AD is? And I realize that sucks to hear as a Maryland fan, but like, of course he wants to know who his boss is. What an absurd thing not to want to know. So why would he sign an extension? And unfortunately, the reality is Villanova is only going to wait so long. So if Maryland can't get some assurances, and he was very complimentary earlier in the week when he was on Machine about the people that he's dealing with at Maryland right now. But those are temporary. And if those temporary people, if one of them gets elevated and becomes the AD, fine. That could be a way to like, okay, you like this person, you work with them, now you know who the boss is, we're willing to give you the resources that you're fighting over, bang, bang, let's sign the contract, and all of a sudden Kevin Willard's staying at Maryland. But if Villanova's like, hey, you interviewed with us, we will interview you now that, you know, we've been talking with your agent, the deal is ready, now you just have to make sure you want to be here. However that has gone, the talks I'm sure have been ongoing with Willard's agent for a while. How involved he has been or not, who knows? But at the end of the day, like, he's clearly focused. He got Maryland farther, and I realize it's farther than Willard's ever gone, but it's also farther than Maryland's gone since 2016. And so it's not like he costs the team. Yes, it might have sucked the joy out of some of it. Clearly it did for fans. I don't know that it actually did for the players. And I think sometimes we infantilize the players because they're kids. And like, we then put our emotions on them. But as I said yesterday when I was talking about this, I think a lot of the stuff Willard's fighting for, the kids on the team probably think like, he's fighting for us. We want this stuff. We want it to stay in New York. We want more money. We want more resources. We see our friends and our former AAU teammates at other programs getting better stuff. And so the kids are fine. The kids are going to be all right. The coach is doing a very human thing. The team got as far as you can possibly expect to get unless you pulled a massive, massive, significant upset. So why is everyone so mad? And where are you directing that anger? That's kind of where I'm left questioning. Because I've tried to understand it. Because the anger is real. I'm not denying that. And I'm not trying to be a contrarian here for the sake of being a contrarian. That's not how I do business. It's not how I do this job. So when I find myself feeling like I'm taking a contrarian position, I try my best to read up and understand why everyone is so mad about the thing. And again, I am not trying to argue that Kevin Willard has handled this optimally. What I am putting forth out as a thing to think about is, what would optimal have looked like? Because if it's being political and or cagey and or lying, I don't agree that that is optimal. Willard has been honest, maybe too honest, but honest at every step of the way. I think he has done that for leverage. Not the Villanova job is going to be there where he lies or not. It's not about leverage with Villanova. It's about leverage with Maryland. He's trying to use leverage to get Maryland to the point that he can stay, where he feels comfortable staying. And maybe he ultimately won't, and you'll then see me at the, you know, whenever that we're doing a remote, and you'll be like, hey, man, you were so wrong about that Maryland thing. He was looking to leave the whole time. If he wanted to leave, he could just leave. Maybe he does tomorrow. Maybe this is all a ruse. But if it happens again in 2 years with the next coach, maybe he had a point. And again, I'm not... I just have not read anything yet, nor have I heard anything yet that convinces me that he's actually wrong on any of this. And that the anger at him is anger actually put forth towards the proper target. Y'all are grown adults. You can tell me how you feel. 301-230-0980. Maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something, and I'm open to that. So if I'm missing something, what am I missing? 301-230-0980. Taking your calls next before Kareem Copeland previews the Lady Terps showdown with South Carolina coming up at 4:30.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty, self-doubt, stressing about not knowing where to start. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. 10 minutes from now, Kareem Copeland, Washington Post, live from Birmingham, where he is getting ready to cover the Terps and University of South Carolina Gamecocks Sweet 16 game. Lady Terps getting ready to go to the top of the hour. Talking now, though, about the men yesterday and this whole Kevin Willard situation hanging over the end of Maryland's season. Let's get it going on the phones. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Alan from Rockville. Alan, am I missing something on this Maryland-Kevin Willard situation, or are you in agreement that it's a situation to be mad at, but the vitriol at Willard might be misplaced? Alan? All right, let's put Alan on hold and see if his phone can work or if he's still paying attention. Let's try Sean in Cincinnati. Sean, let's see. Sean, first of all, hello, hi, are you there? Can we get a working phone?
Good, how are you doing, Craig?
All right, good. We got Sean. We have a working phone. Sean, what's your take on this Willard situation, and really your take on my take after hearing me talk about it for 15 minutes to open the show?
Look, I'm glad that somebody agrees. When I heard what you said, it's exactly what I've been saying this whole week. I don't understand. People are so angry at Kevin Willard for saying the right things. You know, I'm a relatively young fan of the team, right? Both my parents went to Maryland, but you know, watching the team over the last 10 years, growing up 20 years, and just seeing where the program has been at from what I've heard in the past, and it really sounds like Kevin Willard wants to bring everything back to where it used to be. And if the program's not giving him that, and we don't have an athletic director at all, let alone one that wants to actually put the resources towards the basketball, then I don't understand why the fans aren't more mad at the university than at Kevin Willard. Like, come on.
That's where I'm at, and I don't know. Like, there's a lot of folks that are more tied in and care a lot more than me that are seemingly really mad at Willard, and maybe it's because he's gonna go, and the people that are gonna stay are the ones that they like don't want to be mad at. But I think that's then like are you lying to yourself / letting them on the hook? Like, that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out here. Sean, thanks for the call. Let's go to Pete in Bethesda.
Yeah.
Pete, thanks for calling. Pete, you are on the Hoffman Show.
Great. Thanks. Okay, guys. So, first of all, what Willard did in the middle of the Sweet 16 is unforgivable. I mean, talking about what the school needs to do for him when he's getting ready to prepare for a game, I think is ridiculous. But with that said, the Maryland sports program, athletic department's been a mess for 30 years. Never put money in their football program. It's not a basketball school. They moved to the Big Ten because the athletic department was basically bankrupt. They built a swim center for $60 million and sent their swim team packing 2 years later. So, yeah, everyone should be mad at Maryland, but Maryland just doesn't really care about their athletic program at the end of the day.
I guess my only thing, though, Pete, is, like, if you're mad at Willard because he did this now, but if not now, when? Like, when is he supposed to do it? When no one's paying attention?
Well,
when he has no leverage?
Well, I don't think you do it the day of or before your team finally gets back to the Sweet 16.
But he didn't. He brought that up a week like before the first game, and then the neglected to answer any questions about it, instead deflecting and answering fair. About Florida. So I guess that's kind of, yeah.
I'm a Marquette grad, so who am I mad at? Am I mad at Shaka, or am I mad at Marquette University, who's got almost zero NIL dollars and refuses to even go to the portal? So some of these coaches, you know, there's a line from Moneyball, adapt or die, and we're seeing coaches leave like Bennett and UVA.
And some of them, Pete, I gotta let you run because we got a very short show today. I'm gonna try to get a couple more calls in, but I appreciate you, and I'll respond real quickly to your point for everyone here is like sometimes institutions are great and they are a steadying force and they're staying power in institutions for a reason. Other times institutions are horrendously, horrendously inept and adept to change when the market and the circumstances around them change, and changing them in the right ways is obviously the optimal move. And sometimes that takes time to figure out, but it seems like to me, a lot of the institutions refused to keep up, and which is, by the way, why they fought to keep things the way they were forever, and then got told by courts that, like, no, you can't not pay the players. You can't artificially restrict their income. That's un-American. And then they're just like, okay, but then they're not willing to actually do the work to pay up. And then they claim they want to be competitive. And it's like, that's not really how any of this works. All right, let's wrap up with one more. Tom's in Columbia. Tom, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Yeah, I'm calling this. Number one, I appreciate your take. I've spent the whole day listening to, seems like a very immature take on this whole situation. You know, Maryland completely botched this thing going back probably years and just foundationally from how the university is run at the athletic level. And I think the coach said it best. He said he probably talks too much, but he's definitely dangling in the wind. But he'd be an idiot not to play his leverage and play it hard.
Yeah, and the last thing, too, Tom, I'll add on top of the leverage piece, which is, like, I don't know if crude's too strong, but, like, is savvy, if you want to put a more positive spin on it, is, like, He doesn't know who the AD is going to be. Why would you take a job where you don't know who your boss is going to be? That sounds incredibly stupid, like on a border, on a baseline human level.
And then on the flip side, who's Maryland going to
Oh, no. Tom's phone got by a phone monster. Tom, I'm sure you said something really smart. Unfortunately, both we are out of time and your phone got incredibly garbled. But thanks for the call, bud. Really appreciate it. Okay, so there's three calls where, like, we had one kind of like, yeah, I wish he wouldn't have done it. It sucks. But, like, at the end of the day, it's Maryland's fault. One, Maryland's fault. And then two more that's like, it's Maryland's fault. So maybe I'm not missing the point here. And maybe just there's some folks that you can't be too close to a situation and too emotionally involved. And maybe that's what some folks are yelling at. But, like, I think it's real easy to yell at Kevin Willard here because he's making a lot of money and whatever. But, like, if you're mad on behalf of Maryland, you might want to actually, instead of being mad on behalf of Maryland, be mad at Maryland. Because it seems like there's some stuff that's missing in the equation here. And if you are mad at Willard now and he leaves, you're probably going to be mad at another guy in 2-3 years if they find success and then wind up coming to the same conclusions if nothing changes. All right, when we get back, Brenda Freeze, she's been in Maryland forever, finding success nonstop on the women's side despite all kinds of challenges. And she's got her team back in the Sweet 16. Kareem Copeland joins to preview the showdown with the defending national champ South Carolina, one that will be heard here on the Team 980 starting at 5 next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. We see the beautiful face of Kareem Copeland, everybody. He's got a voice for radio, a face for TV, yet he writes in print for the Washington Post covering women's sports, specifically women's basketball, I should say. And Kareem, you were in College Park the other day for this Maryland Classic. You are in Birmingham now, where you are preparing for this game in just a little bit between Maryland and South Carolina. Before we talk about the Terps, I do just want to ask, because the women's basketball world suffered a huge blow Monday night with Juju Watkins' knee injury. It sucks beyond all belief. And the way the women's basketball tournament works, you are amongst a ton of your peers and a huge chunk of the women's basketball world because they put two regions in one city. Mm-hmm. And knowing how, like, the press conferences and stuff, like, you guys were all kind of in a room yesterday for all the media stuff, and you've certainly, you know, been talking to people. This is the world you live in year round, doing the WNBA in the summer. So what's kind of been the mood around the women's basketball world following this injury with Juju Monday night, perhaps, you know, certainly one of the two biggest stars in the sport along with Paige Beckers?
I think there's a feeling of sadness a little bit, because everybody kind of just wanted to see her play and really kind of go off during this NCAA tournament. So that's kind of cast a little bit of a pall over everything. But I don't think it's like a drastic sadness. It's just like, kind of like, dang, you know, like when you lose one of the best players from any sport, you know, everybody loves watching them. Everybody, you know, USC and UConn are on the same side of the bracket. So everybody was kind of keeping an eye out there, looking, you know, anticipating a Juju Page matchup. And so there's, you know, people are kind of bummed out that you're not going to see that. But, you know, it's not the sky's not falling. You know, everybody knows that this kind of injuries happen. And it's more just kind of an overall disappointment of, dang, you're kind of missing out on what you might see. And, you know, now people are kind of looking ahead saying, oh, you know, how will this change the draft? How will this change, not this immediate draft, but like when she eventually comes out? How will that change her pursuit of Caitlin Clark's record? How will that change, you know, will that change her game? You know, and the weird part is the fact that she tore it now, she's probably going to miss almost all of next season. That would usually be the time frame. So now everybody's thinking, you know, when will she eventually come back? When will she eventually come back and be herself and feel comfortable enough to go back into the WNBA draft? So a lot of looking forward kind of thing. But in the immediate, I think people are just kind of a little bit bummed out in general.
Yeah, I think that's what it feels like from here. But it's different, my seat versus, you know, watching from the outside, certainly, you know, paying a lot of attention, but versus being in it, being amongst your media peers, being amongst folks who love the game and are coaching it, playing it. But there's obviously tremendous basketball to come. And you were at one of the best. I mean, When you think about the best basketball games you've ever been at, I'd assume Maryland, Alabama's got to be up there.
That's got to be a top five. I mean, I'm pretty old and got a bad memory, so I've been trying to go back and think about, you know, I know there's things that I'm forgetting, but oh my gosh, that was it was an incredible game. Double overtime, the shot making, you know, 45. It had everything that you could ask for. You know, it's been crazy. The Terps have been in these wild first round games the last 2 years. Last year we were out in Stanford, and Audie Crooks from Iowa State dropped 45 in that opening game. Was it 45? It might have been 40. But either way,
a lot of points.
A lot of points for one person. And so, but last year they lost. Last year Maryland lost, and this year they were able to kind of squeak it out in overtime. Had some pretty, you know, they're watching Sarah Tibiasu, you know, find herself and start to bloom after, you know, kind of having a very slow start to the season. I was talking about her all year, saying, you know, she was the A-10 player of the year last year, but she wasn't playing like that for probably at least the first half of the season, if not three quarters. She finally got her confidence and is now kind of balling and looking like the player who can throw up points in a hurry. So she'll be a big part of coming up today. But yeah, it was an incredible game. Not fun to write on deadline, but it was a pretty incredible game.
They're not there for you, Kareem.
I know.
As if you needed a reminder. Kareem Coppola, Washington Post, with us. That game was so interesting in so many ways. I mean, the toughness, the competitiveness of it, the stick-to-itiveness, but also the calm. I think that's the thing that struck me, is like thinking, especially early fourth quarter as they're mounting the comeback, was there was just kind of a let's keep playing ball. And we trust that we can make the stops we need to. And there was no like huge run. It was just kind of three steps forward, one step back, three steps forward, one step back to it all. Is that do you look at that as some of the leadership on the team? Do you look at that as a Brenda Freeze thing? Like what defines, as someone who's covered this team all year, what kind of defines that mental makeup and capacity for a comeback like this for this Maryland team?
I would say a little bit of all the above of what you kind of mentioned. You know, this is an older team. It's weird because they've got the seven transfers that they brought in. But that group doesn't necessarily have a ton of NCAA tournament experience, but they're all upperclassmen who've played a lot of basketball and played in big moments and played high level against some of the best players in the country. So there's not like a whole lot of panic there as far as being in a situation that they've never been in before. They've played UCLA, they've played USC, they've played who else am I forgetting? They've played Duke. They've played the top teams in the country, not to mention, you know, the people who were already here in College Park. You know, they played against the Caitlin Clarks the last couple years. So it's not really a situation where they're going to be like starstruck or shook. It's just kind of a matter of if they're going to do what they need to do to win ball games. And that's, you know, sometimes they get in foul trouble. Sometimes they don't rebound like they're supposed to. Sometimes they get wonky defensively and you know, lose their offensive flow and get stagnant and are just kind of playing too much one-on-one ball. But as far as like the group talent and the mindset, you know, they don't freak out about that kind of stuff. You know, it's a pretty tight-knit group. Plus, Brenda Freeze kind of keeps them in that mindset. She keeps them loose. She makes sure, you know, they know what's important and when you got to dial in and when you got to be focused. But at the same time, it's an overall kind of I don't want to say lighthearted, but it's not a pressure packed like they're feeling it on their shoulders all the time. I was out at practice yesterday and it's a super chill mode. Brenda Freeze every year. So at the tournaments, when they have practices, the first 15 minutes are open to media so you can watch. But after that, they shut down and the team goes through their regular practice. Brenda Freeze has their practice open the entire time ever since I've covered this team. She's not scared. She's not worried about some other team, you know, finding out a secret. They've done their work. They, you know, that last practice the day before the game, they're not worried about some house secret sneaking away. And I think that mindset and that kind of approach trickles down to everybody else. If your coach ain't, you know, tripping out about stuff, you're not going to either. If your coach is kind of chill and like, okay, yeah, we've got a big task in front of us, but we're not making it bigger than it needs to be, I think that trickles down to the team. And that's just one example of, I think, something that is unsaid and it's not something that's made a big thing, but it kind of makes an example of, hey, you know, we're loose and we can do our job without making it bigger than what it is.
South Carolina is maybe the deepest team in the country, probably is. Maryland is not particularly deep. It's funny because the men, they have the Crab Five. Is there a nickname for the – because it's really like six and a half, seven rotation players for Maryland, especially if you look at what they did against Alabama. You got players playing – I mean, Tibiasu played 50 minutes minutes in that game. I would imagine, like, I don't know. I guess the kind of the question here, Kareem, is does the double overtime game going into this game affect them, heaviness of the legs, all that kind of stuff? Or are they young enough and there's enough time off where it doesn't matter? And the problem is just simply the lack of depth for Maryland versus the depth for South Carolina, minutes aside.
I don't think it's necessarily tired legs, and they didn't practice again until yesterday. Like, they were doing film and things like that, but Brendan Freeze made sure to keep them off their feet. So, you know, after a double overtime game, they can get some rest and things like that. So I think as far as leg fatigue, they're fine. The thing I would be curious about is how is Cheyenne Sellers' knee, for example? You know, the little injury tweaks, that's the stuff that I'm curious if a double overtime game takes more of a toll. Sailor Poffenbarger, who still hasn't quite returned to her previous level of play since she suffered a lower leg injury. You know, how is that going to affect her? Allie Kubek, you know, she's been through two knee surgeries, and that, you know, is just good. That just lingers in general because, you know, those are two major surgeries. And so I'm curious, you know, how a double overtime game affects that. I was talking to Shy, and actually I was talking to her dad, Brad Sellers, also about when they were at the Big Ten tournament, they felt like she wasn't able to get loosened up right away. And that was the game that they lost to Michigan. She had 2 points, zero rebounds, zero assists, probably the worst game that I've seen her play in her 4 years. And one of the things they attributed to was the fact that with the time of game that they had, they didn't have the opportunity to get loose and warm up like she normally has in a routine. I've been comparing it. It's not a direct comparison, but kind of like Elena Deladon a couple years ago when she had that bad back and she had to go through a very strenuous warm up for hours just to get ready to play in the game. Now, Shy Sellers is nowhere near that extreme, but it is a similar thing where she's got a process to go through to kind of get that knee ready to go before the game. And they felt like they weren't able to do that before the Michigan game. So will those two overtime games, you know, wear on that two overtime game? Will that wear on the knee a little bit? That's what I'm curious about. But I don't think it's going to be a straight leg fatigue. But Brenda Freeze, one last thing. Brenda Freeze shortens her bench come NCAA tournament. So, yeah, they're running seven people pretty much tops. And, you know, they had to go a little bit deeper because of foul trouble against Alabama. But, you know, that's pretty much what you're going to see. So they need their legs because this is a deep South Carolina team that runs 10 people out there.
Yeah, it sure does. It sure is. Dawn, you know, there's been multiple coaches this year. It's like, oh, yeah, it must be nice to be Dawn. She's got 12 All-Americans, and that's really what she's got down there. Kareem Copeland with us for one more question here from Birmingham, where he will be courtside tonight, actually coming up here very soon, 5 o'clock. You'll hear the coverage here on the team at 980. Maryland women taking on South Carolina, defending champs. Their last game against Indiana played them kind of tough. Especially, I mean, they were really able to keep the score down in general. It was a 64-53 final. I'm guessing that's probably the path that you want to take if you're Maryland, is like you want to muck this up. You get out there in a track meet with South Carolina. They're probably faster runners. So what is the approach tonight? ESPN's matchup predictor, whatever the heck this is worth, says Maryland's got like a 7% chance to win. How do they make that 7%, you know, a bit of March magic tonight?
The couple things that I've been pointing out, you got to play D. You can't let them run the score up. And especially, you know, they've got their two leading scorers, Joyce Edwards and Malaysia Fuwali, coming off the bench. So you got to have not only You got to play D, but you got to have enough juice that when that second wave comes in, because it's not like the offense is going to fall off when they come in. So you got to be ready, especially with your with the couple reserves that's going to be coming in. Mira McLean, probably going to be a big day for her. She's turned into one of the best defenders, but not just defending, but you got to finish off those possessions with rebounds. That started to bite them in the butt a little bit against Alabama, where they'd have a good defensive possession but give up the offensive rebound. Now you got to guard for another round of the shot clock, and that's where you get fatigued, and that's when that depth starts to come into play. When this team loses, usually they turn the ball over, and it's not just another team forcing those. It's like unforced errors. They just kind of get sloppy with the ball. When the offense isn't moving, you got people who try to go one-on-one and trying to do too much, and that's when you get steals or throwing the ball away. They got to keep their turnovers low, or they're not going to have a chance at all. And, you know, foul trouble is going to be huge. We've talked about depth right now. We've talked about the fact that they're only going to run about 7, maybe 8 people out there, so you can't have your starters in foul trouble and having to sit. Kayleen Smichael fouled out of last game after, and she had scored, what, 23, 24 points at the game. Cheyenne Sellers missed a long stretch, and then even when she came back, she had to finish it out playing with 4 fouls. Today is a day where you can't get in foul trouble, because this is a team that's just too deep, and if you've got your best players on the bench for long stretches of time, that's when South Carolina can go on runs. So those are the 4 things that have been in the forefront of my mind.
Keys to the game from Kareem Copeland. The game very soon. We'll see if the Maryland can use those keys to unlock a victory. See what I did there? That was a pun.
Yeah.
Pun, Kareem. Word play.
I'm a little slow, but you know, I caught it there.
I got words too. Kareem Copeland, everybody. Read his words in the Washington Post. How tight's the deadline after this one? It's a 5 o'clock tip. You should be all right for today,
you
right?
Should be all right, but I thought I was going to be all right against Alabama also, and then that went insane. So, nope. I don't talk about these things before I jinx myself.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes, and we'll read Kareem's work afterwards. Appreciate you, my friend. Enjoy all the games. Should be a fun weekend down there in Birmingham.
Appreciate you having me, yeah.
You got it, man. That's Kareem Copeland with us here on the Hoffman Show. We'll wrap it up before we send things down to Birmingham next on the Team 980. Hoffman Show wrapping up here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are brought to you today by the DC Defenders. Be there for the Red Zone home opener celebration as the Defenders battle reigning UFL champion Birmingham Stallions. Join them Sunday, March 30th at 3 p.m. to pack Audi Field and wear red. Get tickets at UFLDefenders.com. That's UFLDefenders.com. Speaking of Audi Field getting packed, and wearing red, by the way, that actually leads beautifully into two different sound bites, which make up today's edition of Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones. Let us start with the packing Audi Field side of the house. And that will come courtesy of the Washington Spirit, who will pack Audi Field tonight and ask you to wear black, not red. I actually got a chance to talk to Ashley Hatch earlier this week on the heels of her U.S. Women's National Team call-up. And also talked to her, obviously, about the Spirit and how they're playing. They lost last week, but performance much better, and they feel pretty good going into tonight's game against Bay FC.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's been the messaging this whole week, and even after the game, like, Jonah was proud of our performance. We definitely made a lot of steps in the right direction. So we're proud of the performance, not happy about the result, but it's really early on in the season. And I think what's more important is that we're moving in the direction that we want to be going, and that we can continue to learn and evolve and just add more lessons and tools to our arsenal going forward. And so I think that's kind of the approach that we're taking, and I think it'll be a good approach for us.
So, yeah, they do tonight, 8 o'clock kickoff, Amazon Prime on TV, Audi Field, if you can be there. Blackout tonight should be a fun one. Rematch, by the way, of the first round of the playoffs last year. Also today, now the rare wearing red portion of the program, incredible news. Craig Locker, been out with the health situation for a while, announced, the beloved Caps announcer, he's coming back.
Hey, Caps fans, I've got some updates here. been 7 long weeks since my operation. I feel fantastic. Lots of working out, lots of heart rehab, and that means my return is right around the corner. I can't wait to get back in the booth Sunday against the Buffalo Sabres. I feel I'm ready, I'm energized, and I'm ready to get back in my seat next to Joe B and all my great teammates in Monumental Sports. It's been a journey for sure, and I couldn't have done it without the great support of the fans, the Capitals organization, Monumental, and my family, of course.
I love it. I want to see him back. It's right that he'd be there if Ovi breaks the record this year, that he'd be in the booth. So, Locker, welcome back, buddy. Be great to see you back in the booth. That's our show for today. Maryland, South Carolina, NCAA tournament starts now.